Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. And on this edition of the show, the Detroit Shop is celebrating 15 years showcasing the city of Detroit. We'll check in with Nate Forbes, managing partner of the Forbes Company, who will tell us how they're celebrating at the Somerset Collection. The New Economy Initiative is partnering with the Gilbert Family Foundation to launch a new digital tool for small business owners. Wafa Denaro, executive director of the New Economy Initiative, will stop by to tell us all about it. And the Detroit Free Press Marathon is underway. Aaron Veltoven, race director and vice president, will have the details, and we'll also check in with Pat Vanderbush. He's one of the runners who collapsed last year, and he's back at it again this year. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and we kick off the show today with Nate Forbes. He's the managing partner of the Forbes Company, and he's here today because the Detroit Shop at the Somerset Collection is celebrating 15 years showcasing the soul of the city. Nate Forbes, thank you so much for your time today.
And great to be with you.
So tell us about this. Give us the backstory. It's pretty cool, Nate.
Yeah, really. The original vision started over 15 years ago, and we were sitting around trying to figure out a way to kind of celebrate and commemorate the city of Detroit as it was going through a tough time, if you remember.
Sure.
15 years ago. And this whole region, the whole country was going through part of a recession, and we were trying to just stimulate the heritage of our great community. So we opened up a store called the Detroit Shop, which was part museum, part retail, and 100% community focused. And tying that ribbon on day one with Mayor Bing, that's how far back this goes, to the Mayor Bing era. We didn't cut the ribbon, we tied the ribbon, because we wanted that to signify a new type of unity, a new type of forward-thinking celebration of what our community and what our region and why it's been so important to the history of the state of Michigan.
And it was originally just going to be a 12-week holiday pop-up shop, but it ended up being hugely popular. Talk about that part of the story.
Yeah, we really opened it up with the idea of being a pop-up shop, and we opened it and closed it, you know, basically 60 days later. But we got so many complaints, and people wanted to see it come back. People wanted it to be a lasting commitment. And we reopened it 4 months later after we had closed it, and it's been there ever since.
And people should know, Nate Forbes, that you were heavily involved personally. You actually went out and talked to some of the owners of some of these brands, like Faygo, Better Made, Powabic Pottery. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the shop really sold items from so many Detroit-based companies, and you mentioned a few of them. And we'll go even further, Ann. DIA artifacts and artifacts from the DSO and Detroit Historical Museum, the African American History Museum, and all these different places. We brought them to Detroit Shop, along with all the great vendors you mentioned, the Verners, the Better Maids, the Faygos. And we really wanted to pay homage to a city that has brought us so many great years of great design, historical value, historical integrity. And these companies have been around for 90 plus years. And it was our way to bring it all together, package it up in a great environment, and make it available to the broader community.
Now, the first guest, Nate, was a well-known businessman who purchased $400 in books.
Well, you know a little more than I do.
Isn't that interesting?
That is the lore. That is the lore, and we're going to stick with it. And, and that was the first sale, and 15 years later, we've donated over $5 million to over 200 Detroit-based charities. So that was the beginning of what's been a great love affair with this Detroit shop and the city of Detroit.
And now you're going to have this fabulous celebration. Talk about the celebration. What's going on there? What can people see if they come to visit the Detroit shop?
Yeah, well, we've partnered with the Detroit Historical Society to bring this month-long exhibition to life. We're showcasing over 100 Detroit artifacts and pieces of memorabilia that go back to the very beginning of time. We have Aretha Franklin's dazzling dress. We have the original 1961 Detroit Tigers stadium sign. We have a Saunders hot fudge exhibit. We have all kinds of different things, from model cars to artifacts to pieces of merchandise, that really tell the story of Detroit and kind of the history and the backstory of what it means to so many people that have lived their lives and created such great legacies in this region.
And, you know, this is a great place to shop year-round, Nate, but I think it's a fabulous place to shop during the holidays, because you can really get some unique things for people on your holiday shopping list.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, we do so many gift baskets from the Detroit shop. We send them all over the region. We send them to Ohio. We send them to all parts of Michigan, Indiana, parts of Canada. And people that really have ties to the city, or their families live other places, it gives them a great remembrance of what it was like during their upbringing in Detroit or the surrounding suburbs. And we do these wonderful gift packets. We personalize them. We'll send them all over the region. And it's, again, it's a way for families to connect with other generations of their family. Some may be living locally. Some may be living in the region or across the country. And it's a way to connect people and history, and it's really been a strong storyline.
We're talking to Nate Forbes today on Opportunity Detroit. He's the managing partner of the Forbes Company. Nate, did you ever think that this shop would be as popular as it is, and you would be able to give $5 million in charitable donations since its founding?
No, we never did, and I got to tell you, it's just it created a life of its own, and what started out as a little idea, again, as a short pop-up, has turned into a 15-year fixture in this community. And we get people, again, from all over the region that drive to Somerset, and they do their holiday shopping, or they'll just make a special trip to come to the Detroit shop. And we man it with all of our people at Somerset. Again, 100% of all the proceeds go to Detroit-based charities, especially those in need around the holiday times. And we do everything we can to make sure that we're giving back to a community that's so deserving, that has such a rich history, rich heritage, and so many great ties. And we can't forget our history. We got to pull it forward. We have to pay it forward, pull it forward, and keep it for the next generation that will continue to build this legacy far into the future.
The other great part about this story, Nate, is at a time when the city was having a really difficult time, you believed. It must feel very good for you to now see the success of the city and understand and be proud of yourself to say, I believed in the city a long time ago.
Yeah, I got to go back to July 2011, where we actually closed Woodward Avenue, if you remember, and we put a red carpet down the middle of Woodward Avenue, and we opened what we called at the time Somerset City Loft, and we activated 11 spaces along Woodward to help revitalize downtown Detroit. Detroit Shop was one of those 11. We brought a lot of our retailers, a lot of our merchants from Somerset to help us activate these spaces and reinvigorate, to show people what was possible to bring back to the city of Detroit. And then obviously what's happened over those last 15 years has been nothing short of miraculous. The investments made by businesses, community, the Gilbert organizations, and others has really put the city on a different trajectory, a different level of momentum, a different level of hope. And we're very proud, and we were very pleased that we were able to play a part and a role. But it takes time. I mean, you see what the 15-year run rate has been, and we're very excited to see what the next 15 years bring.
You're absolutely right. And I can imagine that you're going to have the Detroit shop at the Somerset Collection for 15 more years plus, Nate Forbes.
That is absolutely our hope, and that is our goal. And we'll continue to invest in that, and it means a lot. It's meaningful. The letters that we get over the holidays and during the course of the year, people thanking us for not forgetting, for remembering, for bringing a sparkle to their eye. And it's something reminds them of a point in time during their youth, mm-hmm, where they went somewhere, were part of an experience with their kids or their parents. And it's a great, great feeling. It's a great human interest story. And it really brings us great joy that we've been able to be a part of so many people's family and experiences and continue to bring that forward.
Nate Forbes, managing partner of the Forbes Company, congratulations on a job well done and on this successful store, the Detroit Shop at the Somerset Collection, celebrating 15 years. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ann. We appreciate all your support as well.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, we'll tell you about a new digital platform. It's designed to help small business owners. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. The New Economy Initiative and the Gilbert Family Foundation have announced the official launch of something called the My Small Business Helper. It's a free digital platform, and it's designed to connect Southeast Michigan entrepreneurs and founders with the resources, guidance, and opportunities they need to either start, grow, or sustain their businesses. Wafa Denaro, Executive Director of the New Economy Initiative, is here now to talk more about this. Wafa, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you so much, Anne. I'm really excited to be here.
So explain to us why you partnered with the Gilbert Family Foundation on this. What exactly is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a gap in the small business ecosystem. We have so many classes and resources and events happening, and there wasn't really a way to get access to the people that really needed them. So we are centralizing access to more than 80 trusted small business resource organizations. We've created step-by-step guides, curated events, grant opportunities, and direct connections to local experts to really get all of the resources to those that need it the most. Small businesses are the lifeblood of our region, and we really want to make sure that those that have small business ideas have access to the resources to be able to take their business as far as they want to take it. We fully understand that the next Ford Motor Company is already here, and we want to make sure we are giving them access to everything they need to fully scale and grow and become the next Fortune 100 company.
Well, and Wafa, you know, we probably both know so many people that talk about starting a business. You know, they've got something in their mind or they have a project that they work on at home, but they just don't know how to get started and where to begin. And that's what I love about this digital platform.
That's exactly right. I mean, too often we know that business owners don't know where to begin, and that really discourages progress. They can go to the MichiganSmallBusinessHelper.com website, and they can really go on their own journey to access the resources and go at their own pace and connect with all of the resources that are free to them to be able to go on their small business journey. The platform is really built to break down barriers, like simplify navigation and increase access, particularly for those in communities that are generally under-resourced.
So when you go to the MichiganSmallBusinessHelper.com and you take a look at this site, what does it look like? Kind of explain the tools that are there for small business owners, Wafa Denaro.
Yeah, it's super easy. And there's a couple different, you know, like I said, there's step-by-step guides if you want to do that. There's an events page. You can go and search for what your needs are. If you're looking for some accounting support, you just search accounting and you can find all the organizations that you can connect with. And it's really intended to be simple and get the resources into your hands to be able to access them. You can also create a profile, log in and track your journey, enter in your data, and really have a more customized experience if that's what you want. But if you're not interested in logging in, all of the resources are accessible to everybody.
Our guest here today on Opportunity Detroit is Wafa Denaro. She's the executive director of the New Economy Initiative. Wafa, tell our listeners, what exactly is the New Economy Initiative?
Yeah, we are a funder collaborative at the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan, focused on supporting the small business ecosystem. We want to empower entrepreneurs. We want to give them the resources because that is how we're going to grow our economy. That's how we're going to hire more people. And this is our focus is really supporting entrepreneurs and small businesses and giving them everything they need to be successful.
What kind of advice do you have for someone out there who might be thinking about starting up a small business?
I would say for entrepreneurs, visit MichiganSmallBusinessHelper.com and really explore all the resources, connect with the experts, and get started on your business growth journey. Like, the best advice I can give is to just jump right in and get started. That's what entrepreneurs do, and they really are focused on just do it, just get started.
And they should probably know, too, that the journey is not always going to be easy. There's going to be ups and downs, right?
There is always ups and downs, especially with entrepreneurship. But entrepreneurship is not easy. It is a hard journey, but it is really central to the success of our communities.
And I think it's fabulous that you've been able to partner with the Gilbert Family Foundation on this project. Talk about the importance of having a partnership like that, Wafa.
Yeah, the Gilbert Family Foundation has been an incredible partner for us. They have funded this program. They are really committed to the city of Detroit, and they're really committed to bringing the resources that are needed to the city of Detroit. We feel so grateful to have a partner that is as committed to the city and the region as we are. And they've been walking this journey the entire time, and we are launching this platform together.
Wafa Denaro, Executive Director of the New Economy Initiative, thank you so much for your time today. It was great to talk to you on Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the Detroit Free Press Marathon takes place this weekend. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Earlier this year, the Detroit Free Press Marathon, presented by MSU Federal Credit Union, was named the best marathon in America. This weekend, more than 26,000 runners are participating in this great event. Aaron Veltoven, race director and vice president, thanks for checking in today to tell us all about it.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
So, Aaron, details. Tell us all about it.
Well, this weekend is the big weekend. It's what we've been planning all year for. We have a sold-out event. We have 8 events over this weekend. Over 26,000 registrants from all over the world have come into Detroit to experience a race unlike any other. You know, an international race that takes them over into Windsor and back into Detroit. It's a tremendous weekend for the city and for all the folks that have trained so hard to get here.
And it is a tremendous weekend for the city. Talk about the economic impact for this city.
Yeah, last year was a historic year for us, and we did over $28 million of economic impact. We have every hotel in the city sold out. Thousands of people are coming in to not only run this race, but experience Detroit. Eat at the great restaurants that are here, grab some Detroit merchandise, and just, you know, experience the city. We have a lot of first time participants this year. So a lot of new people coming in to the city. So, you know, it's going to be great. And we expect that economic impact this year to grow.
And you've also got a fabulous race course. Tell us about the course.
Yeah. So we're a very unique course for any marathon in the world. We're one of the only international marathons that cross 2 international borders. When you start our race over on 4th Street and 3rd, you run over to the Ambassador Bridge, you cross the bridge into Windsor, and then from there, you know, you get to experience on the bridge for many participants on a clear day, a sunrise that is truly unique over the Detroit River in between Windsor and Detroit. From there, our Windsor course has changed slightly. We're showcasing Windsor in a whole new way. So we're going to be along the riverfront, but we're going to go onto Olette Street and then take participants along the city square in Windsor, the new area that's got that will have the ice rink over by the city building. It's going to be great. And then through that, folks are going to come back to Detroit through the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel. It's the only course that has an international underwater mile in a marathon. And then from there, we're going to take participants through just some amazing areas of Detroit, the financial district, certainly, but going through Midtown, Woodbridge neighborhood, up into Eastern Market, out into Indian Village, which is always a participant favorite, and then heading back to our finish line on Woodward at the foot of Campus Marshes is where our participants will finish. So we're really excited to showcase the city again this year. There's so many thousands of people coming into Detroit.
And this marathon, for the second time, is attracting more than 50 elite athletes from Michigan, Canada, and around North America. Can you talk about these elite athletes? What does that mean?
Yeah, so these are professional marathoners and half marathoners. These are people that compete at many races across the calendar year for prize money, for ranking points. The field that we have this year, this is our second year doing it, is a tremendously strong field. So we have, you know, our big story is in the men's marathon. We have our returning champion, Andy Bowman, who is a Ferndale native, or lives in Ferndale, with his wife, Sydney DeVore, who won last year the women's marathon.
Wow.
And it's great to have him back. They actually just welcomed their first child a few weeks ago, but Andy's ready to go. He's running really fast, but he has some great competition at the top. Him and our number one seed in the race, Tom Brady, who is a U of M graduate, is going to compete. Now, not that Tom Brady, but he is a decorated U of M athlete in his own right. Tom Brady, that will be in our race. He holds the U of M record in the 5K and the 10K. He is a 2-time second team All-American, he's running really fast. So it should be a great competition at the top. We have a host of athletes that are coming in. Also new this year, we are certified for our elite athletes to qualify for the next Olympic trials. So we have a host of athletes who, if they run under the Olympic qualifying trial standard time, they will punch their ticket to the U.S. Olympic qualifying trial race that will take place before the next Olympic cycle. So we could see some potential Olympians make their start here in Detroit this year.
So these times, the event record time is 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 7 seconds. It has stood since 1980. I mean, 2 hours and 13 minutes to run 26 miles?
Oh, they're very fast. They're very fast. And in the two that I just spoke about, Tom Brady and Andy Bowman, you know, we could see that record broken this year.
Really?
I mean, they are running really fast, you know, and if conditions are right, that 40-plus year record could go down, which would be, you know, really make today a historic day.
Let's talk about the youngest runners and the oldest runners. What's the age range here?
Yeah, so we have our youngest runner is 2 years old in our little Detroit Dash, which is our quarter-mile run that parents and kids can do together. It's a great time on our Saturday races. And then our oldest participant is 89 years old.
And oh, my
gosh.
We'll
be running the half marathon. So, you know, we have the age range is vast. And it just shows, you know, for our race, we're the largest participatory event in the state. Really anyone can do it. And all you have to do is, you know, set your goals on the distance that you want to achieve, train as best you can. And we will be out there to support you, in any event that you do, whether it's the 1 mile, whether it's the 5K, whether it's the half marathon, or you go for the full marathon. We've got a distance for everyone, and we're looking forward to celebrating all of the people that cross that finish line.
Could you walk the entire race if you wanted to, Aaron?
You absolutely could. We have thousands of people that walk our half marathon and marathon. We have a time limit to all those races, but it's well within the bounds of folks walking, and many, many do year after year.
And it's kind of a good way to get into running if you wanted to start out as kind of a walker or a fast walker or maybe walk, run, that kind of a thing. I get why you encourage it, because it's a really nice way to get into running.
It absolutely is. It's a great way to get into running, or, you know, folks that just want to walk the course. You know, the great thing, and what I always tell people with our race, you get to experience the city in a truly different way, walking through the streets of Detroit that you otherwise wouldn't be able to do. You know, our city looks a lot different through those streets in a great way. And it's an experience that you can't have other than this weekend.
Well, it's just a wonderful, wonderful event for the city of Detroit. Aaron Veldhoven, race director and vice president, thank you for taking the time today to talk about it.
Thanks again, Ann. Appreciate it.
And you don't want to miss the next interview on Opportunity Detroit. We're going to talk to a runner who collapsed during last year's race, lived to tell about it, and is running again this year. Listening to Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. Last year, around the 24th mile of the Detroit Free Press Marathon, 60-year-old Pat Vanderbush of Lawton collapsed following a heart attack. He survived the medical incident. He's here today to talk about it. And believe it or not, he's running again this year. Pat, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Thanks so much for the kind greeting.
So this is an interesting story. Tell us what happened last year.
So everything was going well leading up to the race. Planning was going as expected. This would have been my 13th marathon, and I had laid it out. So it was my 60th birthday. It'd be my first time running an international marathon. Morning of the race, everything, all preparations went exactly as planned. I left our hotel in Southfield and arrived at found a convenient place to park, got myself in the corrals ready for the race. And as our corral was released, I took off, and we were crossing the Ambassador Bridge as the sun was coming up over Windsor and Detroit. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And the rest of my day was, the next 3 hours were just that amazing. It was unlike a typical race for me, where I'm always thinking about my pacing, my stride, you know, miscellaneous pains and fatigue. Everything was going great that day. I looked at my watch and I was just reached mile 24 and was already thinking about the finish line and still feeling great, unusually not tired for being that far into the race, 4 hours, 3 hours and 58 minutes in at that exact moment. And that's the last thing I remember on the race course. Next thing, I opened my eyes and I'm looking at strange ceiling tiles and DMC, and I realize I'm strapped. My arms are strapped down to a bed, and I'm intubated, so I'm struggling to breathe normally. And next thing I know, I see my family in the doorway of the hospital, and I'm told that in the seconds after I came to and realized that I'd been running a race, I started thinking to myself, well, goodness, I was feeling good, so I must have been hit by a car. That could be the only thing that could explain the fact that my chest feels like it's been caved in and my face is all busted up. And I thought, well, no, there are barriers to prevent cars from being on the race course. So, maybe I tripped over a curb or something. And oh, goodness, when I tripped, did a whole bunch of runners trip behind me? Did I start a string of dominoes that knocked down 20 runners? Oh, my goodness, what did they do wrong? And so once I was able to communicate, I was curious what was going on. I was told that I had went into cardiac arrest and collapsed on the course. And I was in Detroit Medical Center at Harper University Hospital. And they put two stents in me, and I was recovering more quickly than expected.
Oh, my gosh. So you were initially treated when you fell by a marathon volunteer and actually a physician from Henry Ford Health?
Yes, correct.
So you're the luckiest man on the face of the earth?
I certainly am a lottery winner, that's for sure. Yes, I fell. So this could happen any place along the race course. And, of course, I run distance every Saturday morning. If this would have happened during my normal runs in Kalamazoo area, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Mm.
So, Pat Vanderbush, you had no signs that you were about to have a heart attack just in your daily life or even running that day?
No, exactly, nothing. And I met with my primary care physician in September, a month before, we talked about, you know, I'm going to be 60 years old, sure, some things to look for, but he had no concerns. All my numbers they were a little elevated, but nothing that needed to be treated. And I'd run 12 marathons previously and a couple dozen half marathons, and no concerns. And, you know, what led to this was that 25 sedentary, I had plaque buildup in my arteries. And for some reason, at 4 hours and 1 minute into my race that day, they decided that it looked like a good time to leave where they were currently fixed to my arteries and go for a little ride.
Mm. So that's what happened. The plaque kind of broke away and ended up causing the heart attack.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. This is an incredible story. So now we fast forward, and you continue to run once you've recovered. Talk about this part of the story.
So it wasn't overnight. I did participate in, through the local hospital, I participated in a cardiac rehab program, and A1 of the program, we set out goals for me, and I told them that, you know, my goal was by December 31st, when I'd be finishing the program, that I'd be running 3 miles. And after several weeks in the program, I was starting to think that maybe they'd forgotten that. But one day I arrived, and they said, well, we know you want to start running, so how about you want to give it a shot today? And so they let me run for a minute and then walk for 2 minutes and repeat that process for a few minutes. So my 50th day after my heart attack, I was able to run 1 minute.
So 50th day after the heart attack, you're able to run 1 minute. How did you keep going so that now this year you're going to do the half marathon, right?
Correct. And in fact, I did it. So my rehab continued through the end of 2024. And actually, on New Year's Eve, I ran 5 miles in memory of a runner that had fallen. Mm. And passed away on the day of the marathon. So I built up to a 5 mile run by December 31st.
That's incredible. With no trouble, just feeling great and right back in the saddle.
Great might be not the right adjective, but feeling good. Feeling I was well enough and healthy enough that it wasn't too much of a struggle.
You know, and to this point about cardiac rehab, one of the things that I think is great about cardiac rehab is it gives heart patients the confidence to know that they can exercise again. Talk about that, Pat.
Wow, that's well articulated. Yes, exactly. Confidence is the exact term that I would use too. Is, you know, you're feeling, even though I felt healthy every day, I always was nervous that, you know, I was told part of my heart died, and, you know, I didn't know what I had, having the fact that I had no symptoms leading up to this was a concern because, you know, there might be no further symptoms and it could recur. So with the cardiac rehab program, it was a 12-week program. It did build the confidence that, my heart was strong enough to allow me to participate in things I've always enjoyed doing and to move forward.
And this year, you and the family are going to volunteer near the spot where you collapsed. Another great part of the story, Pat Vanderbush.
I am so excited about that, too. The volunteer that administered CPR to me initially, she will be there. So I'll be standing side by side with her, handing out water.
That's incredible. How did you get into running? Did you just decide that you needed to get healthier?
Well, that was certainly it. You know, after 25 years of being sedentary and working as an engineer and being a father, you know, I had developed this great hybrid dad engineer bod that so I thought, this is a good time. And my daughter signed up for Girls on the Run, which is a program I'm a very strong advocate for. And I wanted to run with her. So that was the initiator for my starting to run. And I ran through my late couple of years in my late 40s, and I'd kind of had a bucket list item to when I turned 50 to run a marathon, which seemed like a really aspirational goal at the time. But so that was my goal, and so I built up my mileage, and on my 50th birthday, I ran 10 miles and then registered for my first marathon.
And you went on to run 13 marathons?
Yes.
And have you done it all over the country? I mean, it's obviously something
pretty much stayed in the Midwest and mostly in Michigan and Ohio. So, but I do intend to run a lot more, see a lot more of the country and maybe just run half marathons. But I do have, there will be a marathon in my future, maybe in May.
Oh, that's fantastic. What kind of advice do you have for people out there who, you know, they think they need to get a little bit more exercise, or they think something like this sounds really fun? How do you get started?
Well, a little research is always good, and asking around about local running groups or what kind of activities. Now, I can tell you that 10 years ago, the idea of me thinking about running in a social group with another individual, it seemed like the last thing I possibly want to do. But, you know, once I convinced myself I had to train with someone other than some online journal, I signed up for some local running programs, and much to my surprise, it was the reason I kept running. I would have done one marathon and quit had I not become part of this social group that has kind of pulled me in and keeps me motivated and keeps me showing up every week.
Now, how's the family doing? Are they a little bit nervous about the run this weekend, or is everybody okay?
Yeah. Certainly a little bit nervous is a good term. And when I ran a half marathon in May, I think the term would have been very nervous. but yes, they still have some anxieties. And I'm not too concerned about a half marathon I plan to do in November, but I do have some anxieties about running a full marathon.
If anybody can do it, Pat Vanderbush, it's going to be you. You've got this.
And I'm certainly hoping that, and I appreciate that vote of confidence, Ann. I do, during the year, I volunteer at our local running group or running organization, and two of my runners are going to be running Detroit, so I'm excited. One's a first-time marathoner. I'm excited to hand her some water as she passes through our fluid station.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we wish you all the best. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we can't wait to hear how you did.
Thanks so very much, Ann. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. And thanks so much for this opportunity.
And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit. Enjoy the rest of your day.